Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God. This morning, we are ending the Power Series. If you've not seen or gone through the Power Series, this is part 12 of the Power Series. It is also, for the very first time, not just the end of one series, but it is also the beginning of another series that I've entitled In Jesus' Name. In Jesus' Name. Hallelujah. Today, as we end off one series and as we begin another one, I want to entitle this message as a series titled In Jesus' Name, or In Jesus' Name in the Shaking. Jesus' name in the shaking. Again, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The tower that Jesus is never overcome, never fails. It is a refuge. It is a place of shelter in a storm. In a battle, it is there for us always. Jesus' name, the name of the Lord, is a strong tower. I want you to know, just the mention of Jesus' name and the enemy begins to tremble in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to use the name of Jesus with authority and power. One of the series titles or the individual sessions that we had, messages that we had, was the attorney or the power that we have in Jesus' name. It was about halfway through. Listen, what do we run to in storm? Who do we run to in the storm? Who do we run to in our crisis? Who do we run to? And what do we run to in our battles? This morning, just the name of Jesus, to go to the name of Jesus, to come, even to speak the name of Jesus. This morning, there was a praise and a worship that went up. It was just the name of Jesus that was repeated. I remember I was in an accident. I shared this before. I was a teenager at that time. And I can remember we were going to evening service. This was back in the 70s. And we were going to the evening service, and it was a winter's day, and there was a car that had been stuck in a driveway, and the guys had been working hard to get this car out of the driveway. This is on whatever, Schisler Road, coming out of Cook's Mills, Welland, heading to Niagara Falls to our church downtown. And I can remember, just before we got to the car, and my dad was going about, I don't know, 70, 80 kilometers an hour. The speed limit there was 80 kilometers. And I can remember a distance before we got out. I don't know if they were not watching, but the car was freed from the snow and it was pushed out into the highway. And then the man started moving, and my dad, all he could do was swing to the left to go around him. And as he swung around him, he would have been fine if he would have stayed in his lane, but the man made a left turn into the first road. So we hit him at about 80 kilometers an hour, and I saw the front end of our vehicle just buckle, the whole front end. Now, back in the 70s, seatbelts were coming out, and people were wearing seatbelts. And so this vehicle that my dad was driving had five seats, and the front was two bucket seats. And so there was six people in the car. Guess where I was? I was sitting on that little bit of armrest between the driver, between my father and my mother, and I was sitting there as we hit, no seatbelt. The only thing that I could say was Jesus. And I don't know if my mom was wearing a seatbelt, but she went forward. Probably not. Probably not. And she went forward and hit the glass with her forehead and broke the window with her head. Were you okay, Mom? You were okay. You were okay. My head should have gone through the mirror that was right in front of me, and all I could say was Jesus as we hit that vehicle. There was nothing. I didn't move forward, nothing. It was like there was the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, just in his name, by his, just the calling and the shouting of his name, didn't even have a chance, Lord, save me or help me. Nothing. It was just Jesus. Just Jesus. And it was like there was probably an angel just holding his hand against my chest as we're flying, or we're coming from 80 kilometers an hour down to almost zero. I just say, thank you, Lord, for the power of Jesus' name. Truly, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. This morning, I'm talking about a shaking that is coming. There's a shaking that is coming. And you know what? I want you to know, sometimes we look at things that are extreme, and we see them as negatives, as a storm. The storm, the crisis, the battle, the situation, we see them as negatives. Let me just say this. I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged today when you are in the worst of times or when you see things approaching, that you would not be afraid, but you say, you know what? The name of Jesus is a strong tower. I will operate every day in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get up in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to go to bed in the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is a strong tower, so it does not matter what's coming at us. Because his name is that strong tower that we can run to, and the moment we even declare it, there is a powerful work done, even in the shaking. You know what? The shaking will expose what is impure. Listen, sometimes we don't even know that what we're doing isn't right. Sometimes we don't even know that we're not doing things that we should. Sins of commission, things, sins that we commit, actions, behaviors, thoughts, attitudes, whatever that we commit, we may know those things, say, oh. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is convicting beforehand. There's sins of omission, sins that we omit or behaviors we omit, and it's a sin to us. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of the saints as a manner of some is, but exhort one another, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. So when we don't come into the house of the Lord, when we just, you know what? It is so easy to not come into the house of the Lord, especially in the summertime. I am so glad so many of you are here on this day. A summer's day. Beautiful summer's day. A hot summer's day. Thank God for air conditioning. Hallelujah. The sins of commission, the sins of omission. Listen, in 2 Thessalonians, in the next coming weeks, and I don't know how long it's going to be, we are going to be touching in on 2 Thessalonians and on 1 Thessalonians. There's going to be a mixing. I don't know yet, but I know this because he already gave me this, these two letters of Paul already last year in the fall. He said, you need to go through these two books. And I thought I'd be already finished. And here we are in August. So today, may not be going through verse by verse, but we will cover both letters in their entirety. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses from verse 1 to verse 12. I'll tell you, there's a day and a shaking coming. It's already begun. It's already begun. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit has been convicting you of areas in your life. don't ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He comes to you, say, Pastor, what's conviction? This is conviction. Conviction is a coming and a pointing to a specific thing in our life. It's different than condemnation. Condemnation is from the enemy. And even as conviction comes by the Holy Spirit, pointing something out, very specific, stop this. Don't do this. Or sometimes it's, you need to do this. You're not doing it. You need to do this. Condemnation is the enemy. He comes to condemn and he says, you are no good for nothing. Look at you, you rotten sinner. You call yourself a Christian. There's this vagueness. He may point something out, but there's condemnation. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit. Says, hey, change this. It's detrimental to you. It's detrimental to others. There is a day coming. You and I will not have an opportunity to repent. We need to be ready beforehand. 2 Thessalonians, in fact, 1 and 2 Thessalonians is mainly about the coming of the Lord, which has not happened yet, will happen, who knows, most likely in our lives. Definitely with those that are younger in your life, absolutely. In my, I'm getting a little bit older, but I believe that the Lord is coming in my life. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, there's really two parts here. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Basically, Paul's saying it hasn't happened yet, but I don't want you to be shaking. And there's a shaking coming, and he's saying, I don't want you to be shaken in mind or troubled. Why? Because we need to be ready. We need to be ready. That's why the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. They're safe. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. There's going to be a falling away. Listen, some of you, I pray to God there's a change, but some of you, the Holy Spirit has been convicting, and yet you just let it go. If you don't heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you're not ready, there's the practice of sin. I've talked about the practice of sin. If you are practicing sin, you need to stop. Because I'll tell you right now, when the trumpet sounds, you will not be ready. And in fact, here it says, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. I think there are people that are falling away that will be in church, or should the Lord come on a Sunday morning, will be in church, and they'll be left behind. They'll be sitting in the pew recognizing, I missed the gathering together of the saints to be with the Lord. I missed it. You will know immediately what that thing was that you continued to practice that was not right and you just fluffed it off. You say, Pastor, what? Do you have to be perfect and sinless? Pastor, have you arrived yet? No. But I'll tell you right now, I stand before God righteous, not in my own righteousness, but in his righteousness. In the righteousness of Jesus imputed on me by faith daily. And I'll tell you right now, there is not a practice of sin. I may slip in sin, but there is no intentionality of saying, you know what? I think I'm going to sin today, and I know exactly what I'm going to do because I've been doing it for a while already. This practice of sin, those that practice these things, Galatians 5, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's talking to the churches of the province of Galatia. There was a number of churches, and the letter was supposed to be read at each one of the churches. Each one of the churches would read the letter that Paul writes. It was read to them. There was a number of them. You might say, Pastor, you know what? I thank God for warning. I thank God for warning. And I thank God sometimes it's just as simple as just saying, Jesus, Jesus, the righteous run to it and are safe. Lord, let me be righteous before you in your righteousness. Let me be righteous before you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now this here, he's going to expand on it. Paul's going to expand on it in the next number of verses. Because it says here, we're talking about who? Who are we talking about in these verses? Not Satan. Who's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worship, that sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? Who will that be? The Antichrist. The Antichrist is already here. He's already alive. He is a human being. And there is a day coming when he will sit in the temple that will be built. It's not built yet, but it will be built. The priesthood is already ready. They've already done sacrifices. They already have the red heifer. They came from apparently Texas. And so there's red heifers are ready for sacrifice for the cleansing of the temple. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining or holding back the enemy, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Man, do we see it? It's sort of hidden. It's underlying. It's covered up. But the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. What is good is said to be evil, and what is evil is good. It's just been flipped around. We're living in the last days. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And so the restraining right now of the mystery of lawlessness and of the Antichrist is the body of Christ. He, the body of Christ, you and I, members within the body. And when the body of Christ is taken out of the way, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will continue to stay here on this planet because people will be getting saved during the tribulation. They will be saved. We read about that in Revelation, about the cries that come up from the martyrs before the Lord. They are basically killed because they are followers of Christ. They got saved after we were caught up to be with the Lord. Now listen, God forbid you're left behind in this shaking and the shaking that's coming. If you are left behind, you can still make it. It will cost you your life. Just so you know, it'll cost you your life. Just keep looking to Jesus, because Jesus will be that strong tower for you. Even during the tribulation, you can make it. But I pray to God you would be ready before. Man, you're going to miss out on 7 years of, or you're going to miss out on part of it anyways, until the very last martyr is martyred. We're going to have, there's going to be the wedding feast of the Lamb. Praise God. I can't wait. There's going to be food there. There's got to be food there. I can't, oh man. I like trying new things. I'll try anything once, at least once. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. We're going to be there to see that happen. Remember what I said? It's when the Lord comes back at the second coming, that we wouldn't see his face, we'd be seeing his back. We don't want to see his face. We want to see his back because he's leading on a horse. He is leading the hosts of heaven and we on white horses, dressed in white, the righteous that have been caught up, that we would see his back because he's leading us as we ride into battle, the battle of the of Armageddon. And I just say, thank you, Lord. And he will consume the by the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming this lawless one, the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. People will say, oh, he must be the Messiah. The Jews will be deceived. And they will recognize who he is only 3.5 years in when he goes into the temple and he defiles the Holy of Holies and he sets up his throne in the Holy of Holies. So it'll actually happen. It's then that the Jews will realize, oh my goodness, this is not the Messiah. This is the Antichrist, and they will run. And the Lord will protect them for 3.5 years as they run to Petra, that place. And the Lord will keep them in Petra. I say, where's Petra? Actually, if you ever watch the series Indiana Jones, one of them is actually filmed in Petra. I'm not sure which one, but anyways, just a little aside. It's an actual place, and it exists. And for this reason, and with the unrighteous deception among those who perish, so lying wonders, and with unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Their pleasure was in unrighteousness. They didn't believe in Jesus to take care of the unrighteousness that is in us, the sins that may be in us. Everything cleared up. They're saying, no, I have pleasure in unrighteousness. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, because nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. We sang that. Your name, Jesus, your name, holy, worthy, that name which is above every name. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Let Jesus' name be great in your life when you wake up and when you go to bed. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. What's in your heart needs to be removed. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before me. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles 16:29, as David brought the Ark of the Covenant and he put it into place and he sang this song of thanksgiving before the Lord. I just say, thank you, Jesus. We can come into the presence of God. We don't have to come or it's not like we have to stay on the outside, but we can come into the presence of God in Jesus' name, through Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for despising your name. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you, priests, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, on the cross. The altar is the cross. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. The things that we put on the table of the Lord, the sacrifice that's put on the altar, is contemptible. It doesn't mean much to me. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, representative of Jesus, is that not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor, to those that are over you. So God's evaluation of us and who Jesus is to us, his name is tied in with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts, as we offer something that we just go through the motions? But now entreat God's favor. You want God's help. You want God to be gracious to you while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably? So you say, God, help. Come on, help me. I need your help. And we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Here's what his response is to that. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors of the house of the Lord? Shut the doors, because I don't want this kind of worship. I don't want this kind of sacrifice, so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Then it says, for from the rising of the sun, now this was to his own children, the children of God, and the place they had gotten, that it would never happen with us. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. This morning, as we gave praise and worship to the Lord, did you struggle? Or was it just, oh, Lord, I stand right before you. Your blood shed for me. You are the sacrifice. You are the one that was laid on that table, on that altar of the cross, and you hung for me. Your body was broken, your blood was shed, and you hung for me on that cross. Do you have difficulty worshiping the Lord this morning? The Lord is gracious and merciful, even as we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, let us give a pure offering. Let your name be great in our lives. And Lord, let us shout it among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, my name, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Sometimes with our words, our actions, our attentions, our motivations, and we bring an offering before the Lord that is contemptible. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. In 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Lord, forgive us. Lord, where you've made the altar and the sacrifice contemptible, we've profaned your name, even with the sacrifice. Lord, we have sneered or we've thought of it. It's what's the big deal? Your name. Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Lord, I pray, let the conviction of your Spirit, let your Holy Spirit settle on us right now. And Lord, let there be a conviction. And Lord, that we would heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our life to say, yes, I have sinned in that area, or I need to correct that. I need to make these things right. Lord, if there are offenses with others, maybe even just a thought and an attitude towards a brother or sister, we say, hey, I don't like that brother or sister, or that person did this or that to me. Lord, I pray that there would be relationship reestablished. There would be going to those that may have caused us offense, or we may have caused them offense. Lord, let us get things right. Lord, as you said, that we should forgive our trespasses, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, you continue after this prayer, you say, for if we don't forgive others, God cannot forgive us. We need forgiveness. And so, Lord, I just pray that if there is an ought against anyone, believer or unbeliever, by us, Lord, that we will make it right. We will intend right now in Jesus' name to say, I'm going to meet that person, or I'm going to get a hold of that person one way or another, Lord, to make it right. Lord, if those may have passed away already, Lord, that we would confess our sin. You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let it be. Lord, I pray that we will repent. Lord, if we are headed in the wrong direction, Lord, let us do that 180. Let us repent and turn to you. Lord, your heart and desire is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to make that turning to you, and let it happen now in Jesus' name, by the power of your name and the conviction of your Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, let it be. If you missed the series on Wednesday nights, check it out. It's about these last days. It's entitled, the series title is In These Last Days. And this last Wednesday was particularly powerful to me. It was going through Colossians chapter 3. And it was entitled, Raised to Radical Behavior. And we're talking radical behavior that is good, is extreme, it's good. If you have an opportunity, check out Wednesday night and Raised. And the thing of Raised went into great detail about the word raised. Beautiful. Sunajiro. Sunajiro. Powerful. Beautiful. So, our words, our word, our actions, our motivations, whatever we do, in Colossians 3:17, this is why I'm tying you back to Wednesday night, because we went over Colossians 3, and this was one of the last verses that we focused in on. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Every word, every action, every motivation, every intention, every thought, every attitude, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you right now, the things that you shouldn't be doing, the Lord will help you by his Spirit. And the things that you should be doing, the Lord will help you by his Spirit, in Jesus' name. The verse before points to the worship of Jesus Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This morning, I wanted to take my earplugs out, or my earphones, and to hear the worship that was going up here, or is going up from you. So mostly what I could hear is my own voice and what I needed to hear. But I could hear through these earbuds, I could hear the worship that was going up, or a bit of it. This is a beautiful thing before the Lord. Here it says, let me read these two verses together. It talks about, let me read verse 16 and then I'll read verse 17. Let me just get to those verses. I feel to read these in Colossians 3. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Psalms were the songs that were written. They were sung. And hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's like, oh, when you can begin to worship and sing and praise, that's a good place to be in. If you're struggling in that area, Lord, is there something that's not right in me? In Jesus' name, reveal it to me. Let me depart from those things so that I can sing unto the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the word. Heed his word. Receive his word. Do his word. I'll tell you, you'll begin to be able to praise him and worship him. And you might say, well, I haven't arrived fully. Neither have I. But man, it is good to stand before the Lord in Jesus' righteousness over us. He's continuing to do a work right until the day of the Lord. There's a continued work on us. But we are in right standing. We begin to worship the Lord, and it is a good thing to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, his name is above all names. And to the Son, the Father says to his Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Jesus is seated on the throne. He's on the right hand of the Father, in a position of authority and the power to do a work in your life, even just by calling on his name and declaring his name, Jesus. Jesus. Let me just say this. I sent this out. Some of you may have received this as volunteers in the Saturday, August 2nd, at Revive Us Again, Holy Spirit. This has never happened, and I mentioned this last week. I want to say it again. This has never happened in all of my life, my 61 years and many of those years from the mid-70s. Right now, this year is the acceptable year of the Lord. 50 years that this church has been open, one in one place, downtown, and then moved here in 1995. Since 1975 to 2025, and I just thought I'd check out the year of the Lord, the acceptable year. Apparently, they're saying that this year is the year of the Lord, is the acceptable year. So there was a number when I just Googled it that came up, and it's like, is that for? I just thought, well, I'm just going to check. But the year of Jubilee is the year that when things are set free, things are released. And I'll tell you right now, this past week, where are you, Rodney? They're right there. Okay, you know what? You were blown away by the one statement that you kept saying. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, but it was powerful to me. You said, nothing seems to ever work out for me. And things were working out that day. the timing of things, the impact of people's in people's lives just on Thursday. I'm not talking about last Sunday. Was not last Sunday amazing? The time, you know what? We didn't finish until 12:45 almost, and nobody left, or very few left, and everybody, when they were called to the altar, came to the altar here and came to the altar up there, and there was a worship, there was a praise, there was a ministry that was done because the Holy Spirit is in our lives, is in our, should be in our homes and in this place, and is definitely hovering over this city. The Holy Spirit has distinguished this city as a holy city. I have never had a service. I don't know. There might have been a service that was had on at the Oaks Garden Theater, but I don't think so, because I would have been aware of it. I don't think that place was ever used to call onto the Lord for and the Father for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us. To have people praying, worshiping, even prayer in the Spirit. Got this text as one of the guys got on. I was plagued by demonic entities for so much of my life. I was set free last Saturday as this man was there. He was set free. There has been a shift. And all to say, Thursday. On Thursday, my desire, because I knew that I would be starting, my day started early at 6 o'clock, I was here. But everything was laid out. And my desire was, Lord, I want to be finished, everything, in time to get together with my wife for a little supper after. I don't want to be running late on Thursday. Everything worked out, even to the point of bringing the trailer back to U-Haul. And I got to Harvey's on Lundy's Lane for one of my favorite things, which is a buffalo chicken sandwich. If you've never had a buffalo chicken sandwich, go for a buffalo chicken sandwich. And it was right there. I just say, the timing was perfect. Everything taken care of. Now listen, let me say this. There's a great and effective door that has been opened over Niagara Falls. And I believe that it happened on Saturday, August 2nd, and over the Niagara region and will spread beyond. And I sense and I can see it in the spiritual realm. This past week has been amazing here in Niagara Falls. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, truly. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. This is the acceptable year for the holy city of Niagara Falls and the region, the holy region, Niagara region, and beyond. And I can't believe it. Again, they're saying, Google it. I don't know. I may be wrong, but there's a number saying this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. So I'm saying, hey, let it be. The heavens are open. The Spirit of the Lord is over. The seven spirits of the Lord. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. 7, let me count with you. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest, let it rest upon you, just like it was on Jesus. Let the Spirit of the Lord rest upon you. Let the Spirit of wisdom rest upon you. Let the Spirit of understanding rest upon you. Let the Spirit of counsel rest upon you, be in you, and be given to you. Let the Spirit of might be on you and work in you and work through you. Let the Spirit of the knowledge of the Lord be in you and on you to get to know more about Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord be upon you. Don't be afraid. Thank God for the spirit of fear of the Lord. Because I'll tell you, if you don't have any fear of the Lord, you will not have wisdom, you will not have understanding, you will not have the fountain of life, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it is the beginning of knowledge, it is the beginning of understanding, it is the beginning of the fountain of life in your existence. And I looked and I beheld, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Seven spirits of God. The Holy Spirit, seven is the number of completion and of perfection. Hallelujah. And it is attached to the lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. Let it be. I'm going to call the worship team if they would just come. We're just going to sing that song again as morning dawns. The next major event starts today. You may say, what is it? We have a number of youth that are going to youth camp today for the entire week. I was just talking to Pastor Joel. He's already there. There's a number of those that are part of the team are already there from our church, and there's others from other churches. I don't know how many youth that are there altogether, 130, 140, 150, something like that. But here's the amazing thing. Pastor Joel said to me, he says, you know what? Because for the last 2 years, and man, I was upset as a pastor. There was no time for the Holy Spirit for the last 2 years. And I said, Joel, you lift a voice. Let me tell you what's happening. Guess what? This year, Pastor Joel, who's been going for youth camp for years as a youth and now as somebody that is there as a youth pastor and also to be a part of the camp week, here's what's happening. There's a shift that's taking place in who is going to be camp directors. And so they have decided that Pastor Joel should be the youth camp director or co-director with one of the others. Yes. That's the first thing. The second thing he mentioned to me, he says, I just want to let you know, it just came this morning, that every single service of the main camp speaker for the youth, every day he's talking about the Holy Spirit and a different aspect of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all the youth that are there. Yes. The very first youth camp, I was there as a 14-year-old, and the Holy Spirit fell on all of us like on the day of Pentecost. In one moment of time, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and it fell on every single person that was there. And it was like, I've never experienced anything like it. My prayer is, let us experience this on a regular basis, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. So we're going to be praying for this. The second thing is, as has already been mentioned, is the worship in the wild happening in another less than 2 weeks. And if you're able, I know there's some spots still available, but to help out or just to be there for different things. I recognize you may not be able to be there the whole day, all 3 days, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. I just want to thank all of you for your heart to labor for the Lord. And even with the conviction that might be in your life to say, you know what? I'm going to heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run to it and are safe. We have safety in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That we would be the glorious church that he is coming back for. Let us be a part of that glorious church in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others.
and God bless you richly.